praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry. During his ministry, Witness Lee emphasized the experience of Christ as life and the practical oneness of the believers. He was unbending in his conviction that God's goal is the body of Christ. Through his messages, he stressed the importance for us to grow in life and to function as Christians so that the body can build itself up. We're happy to bring you recorded portions from his ministry today, along with some of our own thoughts, and we welcome your comments and questions. You can reach us toll-free at 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Now let's join today's program. In Genesis, Abraham is called the friend of God. And in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus referred to his disciples with this same intimate expression. But in Exodus, God calls Moses not just his friend, but his companion. As a companion, Moses became God's associate, his partner in pursuit of a single enterprise. How can we become God's partner? We'll look at this intriguing question today, and Dick Taylor has joined us again for another Life Study of Exodus. Welcome back to the broadcast, Brother Dick.
I'm happy to be in this program.
Well, Dick, we continue today to look at the situation that followed the great sin of idolatry committed by the people while Moses was in the mountain with God. We had a tremendous program, and this word came out about the nature of the relationship between God and Moses, and it was manifested by this negative situation. Dick, what can we see about the kind of relationship that existed between them?
That's a good point you made, Chris, that the negative situation manifested the kind of special relationship that God and Moses had. What we see is that Moses was not merely the friend of God.
Right.
But Moses was a companion of God. The two of them had very intimate conversations. I don't know about you, Chris, but I love chapter 33, verse 11. It says, "And Jehovah would speak to Moses face to face,
right,
just as a man speaks to his companion."
Mm-hmm.
So their relationship was very intimate. They were partners in a single enterprise, that is God's economy and God's plan to gain an expression of himself on this earth through his people. So the two were very intimate. And Moses, of course, because of his intimacy with Jehovah, really knew Jehovah's heart and was according to God's heart. His intimacy allowed him to be according to God's heart, to know God's heart, and to be a person who is one with God to fulfill this divine enterprise. So may we all, from this, realize God's desire is that we would be his companions in such an intimate way.
Dick, I appreciate you read that verse in chapter 33, that God was face-to-face with Moses as a man would be with a companion. We saw this contrast between this expression describing their relationship in Genesis 18 when Abraham is described as God's friend.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, all of us would aspire to be God's friend.
That's right.
That's a wonderful part of our inheritance and promise. But here is something, as you've just said, even deeper, even more substantial, that two not only joined in friendship, but joined in purpose and in heart for the accomplishment of the one goal. A marvelous characteristic of this relationship, wasn't
marvelous.
It?
Marvelous. Hallelujah for a companion of God.
Amen. Well, let's join Witness Lee, Dick, and we'll come back and have some more fellowship.
When Moses heard this word, that God said, "I will not go with you." The Moses, "I only send my angel to go with you. I will not go with you." Moses heard this, and the children of Israel heard this. They all knew this was not a pleasant word. And here, in one of the verses, it says it was an evil word. So the children of Israel took off their ornaments. God took the chance to tell Moses, "You better tell the people to strip off the ornament that I may know what to do with them." In Genesis 35, when Jacob came back to his fatherland, he was called to go to Bethel to worship God, and he told his folks to put off all the ornament to get themselves cleansed. This kind of ornament is just the self-beautification. The idol came out of this self-beautification. The gold of which the calf was made was the gold for their self-beautification. When they heard this evil word, they spontaneously put off this ornament. Actually, by that time, they should wear sackcloth and put ashes, the dust, upon their head. And this kind of thing happened in the Old Testament quite a few times to express the real repentance from a broken heart. They should have such a broken heart to be in the sackcloth and under the ashes to repent. Yet they didn't do this. Instead, they still wore the ornaments. When they heard this evil word, they began to realize that was not a small thing. So they put off all the ornaments. All the thing happened through such an experienced mediator. And this mediator appeased the party on God's side. And he also caused something happen on the party of the people. All these were the outcomings of his appeasing work. He appeased God, he caused the people to repent. To put off the ornaments signifies to repent, and they repented. So there was a success of this appeasing. Here it says, from that time onward, the children of Israel stripped off their ornaments all the time. They give up the self-beautification.
Dick, this is remarkable. Moses is assuming a very meaningful role in this big problem that has now been manifest between God and the people. Moses becomes the mediator, effecting both an appeasement of God's wrath, his righteous indignation, and also in bringing about a thorough and proper kind of repentance from the people. What was Moses able to do, Dick, that eventually brought the people to such a repentance?
Well, he knew, Chris, God's heart. God's heart was really to forgive his people. But he knew that his people had to be sobered to the extent that they really repented, and even the repentance was manifested and made very clear before the Lord. So Moses not only mediated for the people to appease the situation, but also he was burdened that God would forgive them. And I like this. He knew God's heart was to forgive them and to bring them into the good land. So based on this, he spoke with them in a very precious way. He asked the Lord to forgive them. And he said, if you don't forgive them, wipe me out or blot me out.
Right.
He knew God's heart. He knew that God had even spoken in his anger that he would blot them out or wipe them out. So Moses mediated for them in the sense that he knew God's heart, conversed with the Lord in an intimate way, and even risked his spiritual destiny by saying, if you don't forgive them, then wipe me out. Because he knew God was serious with their sin, they should be wiped out, and God had even spoken these words. So he was so intimate with God, he repeated God's own words, forgive them or else wipe me out. And then the other thing that he did to really cause them to repent, he spoke the Lord's word to them in an honest way when the Lord said, because of this sin, I will not go up with you. This was what they called an evil word. But Moses faithfully not only mediated, but also spoke the truth to the people to sober them. As a result, the people were so convicted that they took all of their ornaments, which were for self-beautification, and took them off. This was an indicator that they were turning. Because these ornaments for self-beautification, as is mentioned in this message, are just a preliminary form of idolatry.
Mm.
These ornaments on the people just indicated their interest was themselves. But the Lord was very upset about this. So Moses' faithful word to them that God would not go up with them caused them to be very convicted, to get rid of all of their ornaments, and as a result, to humble themselves. You know, it's mentioned many times Israel would not only repent, but they would be in sackcloth and ashes.
Right.
Well, they didn't do this, but taking off the ornaments was a good indicator that they were getting the point. This is marvelous that Moses would speak to them in such an honest way. He mediated in God's love and in God's desire to forgive them and risked his own destiny, but he also spoke honestly to them so that they would be sobered to the point where they not only turned, but they had a visible sign of their repentance so God could forgive them.
Dick, one of the things that emerges as you get into these verses is really how much we can see that Moses was a man who knew and got into the very heart of God.
Amen.
And that was such a unique qualification for him to be the one that could bring about this mediation between God and the sinful people.
Amen.
We're going to look at a verse that may seem obscure, but now in this light becomes very meaningful in this coming section. That's verse 7 in chapter 33. Now Moses would take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, some distance from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought Jehovah went out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. We're going to look at how that is significant in this coming section. Here's Witness Lee.
Moses was an experienced person. He knew God, according to his holiness, wouldn't stay longer among those people. After he appeased the situation, he took his tent out of the camp and pitched it up far away from the camp. Why? Because he knew God's heart would not stay there in that kind of a situation with that idolatrous people. So he left, and his action was also according to God's heart. You know a verse in Hebrews 13? It tells us that the Lord Jesus was crucified not within the city, but outside the city of Jerusalem. That indicates what? That indicates the people of God rejected God. So the next verse in Hebrews 13 says, let's also go out of the camp unto him, and to the rejected Christ outside the city. That means rejected outside the camp. There, Paul actually quotes what is here happened after the idolatrous situation. Moses knew the heart of God, and he wouldn't stay in that situation. Eventually, this tent he moved out of the camp became the tent of God, the tent of meeting between God and his people. So when Moses every time entered into that tent outside the camp, the pillar of cloud, that was God's glory, descended right at the door of that tent. That means what? That means God appeared there. God's glory was seen there on the one hand. And on the other hand, whenever Moses entered into the tent and the pillar of cloud descended there, God talked to Moses. Then all the people who sought after God went to that tent. In their camp, they could not have God. To have God, they had to go to the tent of Moses. The tent where Moses was. Where Moses was, there was God. God was there. This was a type.
Dick, this matter of the tent being outside the camp is very symbolic. The tent being outside the camp is also mentioned in the New Testament in chapter 13 of Hebrews. How does Moses moving his tent outside the camp in Exodus relate to the tent that's mentioned in Hebrews?
Moses moving his tent outside the camp is a type. The camp is a type of religion and of idolatry, and even of rejection of God. For example, Jerusalem, according to Hebrews 13, became, apparently it was a city of God, but became a city rejecting God and rejecting the Son of God. So the Lord was crucified outside the camp. So Hebrews 13 says, let us go forth unto him outside the camp. Our desire is to join the Lord and to be one with him, to get outside the camp of religion or idolatry. We've mentioned a number of times on this broadcast, I believe, that religion in its simplest form is just the worship of God with no enjoyment of Christ.
Right.
This is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And this means if you're worshiping God without the enjoyment of Christ, something else is being exalted, not Christ. And what's that? That's idolatry. To exalt anything or anyone other than Christ is just a form of idolatry. This is a very serious sin to the Lord. So because Moses knew God's heart, he moved his tent outside the camp.
Right.
For the sake of God's testimony.
Testimony, yes.
Again, this indicates how close and intimate Moses was to the Lord as his companion. He knew God would not dwell in that idolatrous situation. The same way today. As soon as there's idolatry among God's people at all, then they become a camp. And we as believers must get outside of that camp. Perhaps you're in a situation, even as you're listening to this broadcast, where Christ is not the center. Apparently, it's a worship. Apparently, it's Christian. But Christ is not the center. Many other things, many other people are the center. You have to realize that what you're involved in may be a camp. And the Lord is speaking to us to go forth unto him outside the camp. We have no other focus, no other center than the exalted Jesus Christ. God the Father is very upset if we take any other center. May we be one with the Lord, according to this type with Moses, to go outside the camp of religion and idolatry to exalt and care for and love exclusively Jesus Christ.
Dick, that's really what we're seeing about Moses. By this way, he was able to appease God. He was able to eventually bring the people even to a repentance, a deeper repentance. But he continues now. He goes even farther and continues to negotiate with God. Eventually, he gains what he's after. This is our focus in the last section today. Let me read Exodus 33:13 as a backdrop for this. Now, therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I may continue to find favor in your sight. Consider also that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence shall go with you. I will give you rest.
Amen.
Wonderful to hear those words.
Wonderful.
Spoken to us by the Lord's own mouth, Dick.
Mm-hmm.
Let's join Witness Lee.
Moses was an expert. He did these things all together according to God's heart. He appeased the situation according to God's heart. And he moved the tent out of the camp according to God's heart. Now, he got the ground. He got the ground to bargain with God. To bargain for what? For God's presence. He said this, okay. From the first day you told me, you knew my name, and I have found favor in your eyes, but you never told me who will go with us. Who will go with us? Then God said to him, okay. I will go with you. He got the deal. Yeah. I will go with you. Moses talked to God in this way. You never told us who will go with us. So we don't know the way. If you read this portion, you could see, number one, God's glory is God's presence. And number two, God's presence is God's way. If you have God's presence, you have God's way. God's presence is your map. Like with Abraham, God never told Abraham where to go, how to go, because God's presence was the guidance to Abraham. Now, this was exactly what Moses wanted. Moses wanted God's presence. Moses wanted God's glory. before this section, God was appeased. Yet, God made it clear that he would not go with them. This teaches us a serious lesson that we must know God's heart. And we must be a person according to God's heart. Amen. Then we have God's presence to the uttermost. Amen. Like Moses had. Amen. Moses had God's presence to the uttermost. Amen. But the children of Israel, they got God's presence at the bottom. Just that little. Why? Because they were far, far away from God's heart. And today is the same. We all have to learn the lesson. Only this kind of person, like Moses, can be a companion of God. Can be in a common interest with God. Can be used by God to carry out his career, his enterprise on this earth.
Dick, by looking at this record in Exodus 32 and 33, it's very clear that Moses was a man that really knew God's heart. He knew how to appease God, how to satisfy God. But there's a deep lesson here that we all need to learn, especially if we desire to be ultimately God's companions, God's partners, isn't there?
There sure is. And it's just like you said, Chris, we want to be persons who know God's heart and do things according to his heart. This is the main point in this broadcast, is we would see Moses was a companion of God, an intimate companion, to the extent that he knew what the Lord wanted, and he lived and did things according to what the Lord desired. He was really a person who knew God's heart and was according to God's heart. But in contrast to Moses, we get help from looking at Israel.
Mm-hmm.
They were far away from God,
right.
Not that close to God. God's presence was something somewhat distant to them. So they didn't know what God's heart was. They didn't live according to God's heart. But may we, on the other hand, really learn from this type and this picture with Moses to be those who are intimate with the Lord, getting into his word, just like these life studies of the Bible are so helpful to allow us to know God's heart, to love him, to know his heart, and to live our life according to his heart. If you just regularly listen to this broadcast, I guarantee you, you'll be brought to this marvelous God. You'll be a person who knows his heart, and you'll be a person who lives according to his heart's desire. So may we learn from Moses, who was a companion of God, carrying out this one divine single enterprise through many intimate conversations and spending time with the Lord to really know his heart and to be according to his heart. May the Lord bless all of us who are involved in this broadcast and who are listening to this broadcast to be not just a friend of God, but a dear companion of God in this divine enterprise. Amen.
Amen. Dick, I was thinking exactly the same thing as you were speaking, that this kind of ministry, this unveiling, again and again, draws our heart, not to the minister, but to the object of this ministry, the very Lord Jesus himself.
Amen.
We would all become God's companions as he really strives in these final days to bring his purpose to a conclusion so that he can come again.
Amen. May he come again soon.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Dick.
You're welcome, Brother Chris.
Very good to have you back.
Good to be here.
For Dick Taylor Today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Whether you're hearing this program via radio, online, or as a podcast, you'll find hundreds of audio studies just like this one by visiting our website, lsmradio.com. We also hope you'll email us with your questions or comments, radio@lsm.org, or call us toll-free, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-7262. 3788. Thanks for listening.
Was Jesus simply a great religious leader?
The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John chapter 1, verse 29. Based on the scriptures, the religious people were looking for a great leader, but Jesus was introduced to them as a little lamb with a little dove. The lamb is for redemption, to redeem fallen man back to God, and the dove is for life-giving, for anointing, to anoint man with what God is, to bring God into man and man into God. Both the lamb and the dove are needed for man to participate in God. Scripture, John 1:29, and commentary from the New Testament Recovery Version published by Living Stream Ministry. For more information, visit lsm.org.